Insights tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm Mark Levonier. During radio's golden era, one of the most listened to and award-winning dramatic shows on the air was the long-running anthology series Suspense, which not only brought listeners to the edge of their seat, but invited many actors who weren't necessarily well-known in dramatic roles to show their skills in a kind of play that would put their reputation aside or sometimes play off of it and deliver a really entertaining half hour of radio. Later on, we'll hear a broadcast from the series called Elwood, starring Eddie Bracken. From the age of 9, Bracken was performing on the vaudeville stage, then making his way to Hollywood in his youth, and slowly started making appearances in short comedy films. And even then, his style of being sort of a stammering and shy actor who had managed to leave a scene more complicated than it should have been, his actual success on screen was certainly contrary to that usual character, shown by his second film, which was his first major hit in 1939, in the Lucille Ball-led college comedy called Too Many Girls. The film was based on the Broadway hit by the same name, where Bracken and Desi Arnaz performed nearly 250 times on stage, this movie being their screen debuts, and also the movie where Lucy and Desi first met, marrying 6 months later. Around this time, Bracken broke into radio as a regular on The Aldrich Family, one of radio's most popular sitcoms, in the role of Henry Aldrich's friend, Dizzy.
Henry, all we gotta do now is to go through with it.
Don't you think so?
I've got a fingerprint outfit at home, and I always knew that someday it would come in handy.
Only maybe we ought to be careful about taking Mr. Walker's.
He won't even know we're doing it. And listen, Henry, we ought to be really systematic and get everybody's print in town.
Everybody? Do you realize how big this town is?
But, Henry, look what they do in Washington. They don't get a few, they get millions.
Well, I guess maybe if they can do that in Washington, we can handle this town. Come on.
In 1940, he brought this character to the movies in Life with Henry and continued to star in a string of comedies on screen, with a radio tie-in in 1945 where he appeared as himself in the movie version of another wildly popular radio sitcom, Duffy's Tavern. He was a very recognized name during the 1940s thanks to the screen, which led to his own radio show that was heard for a collective 9 months from 1945 to 1947, showcasing the character movie audiences had come to know. Here's a broadcast of the Eddie Bracken Show now, from February 11th, 1945, on NBC.
Impossible is the word to be found only in the Dictionary of Fools. This is the story of a man who believed that nothing is impossible. Therefore, he proclaimed to the world,
I'm not going to get in any trouble today.
He stood at the open window in his pajamas, facing the dawn of a new day, repeating over and over,
I'm not going to get into trouble today. I'm not going to get into trouble today.
And got a sore throat. Yes, this is the story of Eddie Bracken. Eddie Bracken spent all day Monday in bed, and the whole town was thrown off balance.
Oh, isn't it peaceful today? Oh, I wonder if something's happened to Eddie Bracken.
Yes? This is Sheriff Pringle. No, I haven't seen Eddie Bracken today. No news is good news.
Oh, for quiet around here today. Too quiet. I'll bet this is some Eddie Bracken's doing.
So, as the clock struck midnight, Eddie was convinced he had hung up a record. Nobody was sore at him, not even his throat.
Geez, I made it. A whole day and no trouble.
Between you and me, Eddie doesn't know that clock is 5 minutes fast.
Oh! Eddie! Oh, Eddie!
Gee, Connie, did you throw that big rock through the window?
I'm so sorry. I just wanted to wake you up.
You nearly put me to sleep.
Eddie, I know it's late, but will you do me a big favor?
Oh, gee, sure, Connie. I'd be glad to. What do you want me to do?
Go climb a tree.
Why, sure. What did you say?
I want you to climb the tree outside my window. I lost my key, and I have to get in without waking Papa.
Oh. But your father sleeps in the next room, and...
Eddie, I'm only asking you to climb up to my room and open the window. You said you'd climb the highest mountain for me.
Yes, but your father wouldn't be sleeping up there.
All right, Eddie, forget it. Somebody else.
He's not very broad-minded about... who else?
Well, it was a choice between you and Otto.
Otto?
I guess I should have gone to Otto in the first place. I'm sure he wouldn't mind climbing up to my bedroom window. You know Otto.
Yeah, wait, I'll put some clothes on over my pajamas.
Where are you, Eddie?
I'm the big branch at the top. Is this your window?
Yes. Crawl in and come downstairs and let me in. I'll wait here at the front door. Well, how do you like that? It was open all the time.
Open all the time? You mean to say you had me get out of...
Who's out there? Speak up or I'll shoot.
How do you do, Mr. Monahan?
Eddie Bracken, where are you?
I'm out on a limb.
Are you trying to peek in my daughter's window?
Oh, no, Mr. Monahan. I wouldn't do a thing like that.
No?
No. I was just trying to get in her room.
You were what?
I mean, I've got you.
Come in here.
I'm A4.
Let's go!
Oh, please, Miss Monahan, my pants are caught.
There.
You don't understand, Miss Monahan. I was just bringing Connie home and...
I got doors in this house, haven't I?
Honest, Mr. Monahan, I can explain everything.
Arthur, you're getting absent-minded in your old age. You forgot to lock the front door.
Never mind what I forgot. What's the idea of breezing in at this time of night?
Oh, Papa.
And never mind the... Oh, Papa. Where have you been?
I just went for a ride. I had a walk home.
So. Eddie got fresh with you.
Oh, no, Mr. Monahan.
Why, you turtle-faced...
No, I didn't know what I was doing, and then the next thing I knew, she hit me on the head with a rock and...
What do you expect when you start making passes?
Papa!
You shut up and go to bed. I'll get rid of this tree-climbing Romeo. Come on.
But, Mr. Monahan, I'm just trying to tell you, I really didn't do it.
I'll learn you to go around peeking in windows.
But, Mr. Monahan, please, Mr. Monahan.
And the next time you stick your big schnoz all around here, you'll get worse than...
He grabbed me by... Where were you?
Well, I was up on Observation Hill.
Oh.
With Jerry Pringle.
With Jerry Pringle?
Yes. And Papa can't stand Jerry because he's Sheriff Pringle's son, and Papa hates Sheriff Pringle. But if you let Papa go on thinking I was with you, then there won't be any more trouble than there is. See?
No.
You don't see?
I don't see.
All right, Eddie. I can't make you see if you don't want to.
Oh, don't cry, Connie.
And I thought you were the one person I could count on.
Oh, you can, Connie. Only...
I thought you were so understanding.
Oh, don't cry.
I thought you cared.
Oh, gee, Connie, I do care. Honestly, I do. My gosh, you're one of them. All right. I'll say I was with you tonight.
Oh, thanks, Eddie. Now go right down and tell Sheriff Pringle about the car.
About the car?
Yes, we used Papa's car without exactly asking. And while we were up on Observation Hill, we got held up. And the car was stolen.
Well, all right, I'll hurry right over to...
Stolen!
Good evening, Sheriff Pringle.
Oh, go home, Eddie.
I had to see you, so I went by your home, but Mrs. Pringle said you were working late.
Eddie, I have enough trouble on my hands. Go home.
Yes, sir, but I want to report a holdup in a stolen car.
Oh.
License number 60Q902. Mr. Monahan's car. It was stolen up on Observation Hill.
Huh. Who'd go up there with Monahan?
Oh, he wasn't up there. He doesn't even know about it yet.
I see. You were up there with Connie. Haven't I told you kids to stay away from there?
Yes, sir, but...
You don't catch my son Jerry up there.
No, sir, you don't catch him.
Well, I'm not going to bawl you out, Eddie, because you came in just the right moment.
I did?
Yeah. Come to the next room. I'm pretty sure I caught the man who held you up and stole the car.
Oh.
All I need is for you to identify him.
Why, yes, sir, I'll be very... identify him?
Yes.
But
there he is. That's the man, isn't it?
Is it?
What do you mean, is it? Is he or isn't he?
It's a frame-up. I'm innocent. I never seen this guy before in my life.
You keep quiet. Well, Eddie, what have you got to say?
Could I have a glass of water?
Look, Eddie, I'm holding him in a John Doe warrant. If you don't identify him, I'll have to let him go. Now, is he or isn't he the man that stole that car?
It's like this, Sheriff Pringle. I had a sore throat and I didn't get in any trouble all day until I could hit on the head with a rock and help a certain person get in a certain person's house. And I promised that certain person I'd say something, but when I said it, I didn't know what I was saying. That's why I can't say. See?
Wait a minute. Say that again. Slow.
I said...
Shut up! Eddie, you're deliberately obstructing justice. Get out of this jail before I put you in jail.
Yes, sir, but I
never want to lay eyes on you again, understand? Never.
But no, sir. I mean, yes, sir.
Get out!
Hey, Eddie. It's me, Louie DeLouse.
Oh, you're loose. I mean, the sheriff let you go.
Yeah, thanks to you, pal, for not identifying me. Eddie, from now on, you and me are buddies.
Oh, but I couldn't identify you. I never saw you before.
Ah, that's the way I like to hear you talk, Eddie boy. You're a sweet guy.
But you don't understand, I...
It was dark. How could you see me when I snuck up on that car when you and that dame was...
Was what?
You know. Yes, sir? Yes, sir, in all my life, I never seen a finer example of the Christian spirit of forgiveness.
Yes, but, what were we doing in the car? Did I have my arm around her?
Did you have your arm around her? Gee. I tell you, Eddie, what you did is enough to make a guy reform. To tread the straight and narrow. To face the world with head held high and his hands in his own pockets.
Did you see me kiss her?
Did I see you kiss her? Gee. And did she sock you on the snoot?
She did? Oh, gosh, that's swell.
Eddie, my faith in human nature is restored.
Yeah, mine too.
You'll find your car over behind the freight yard. And here, Eddie, here. Take the suitcase.
She really socked me, huh? Real hard, huh?
I want you to return all the stuff I've been stealing. It's all in there. So long, Eddie.
So long. Gosh. She slapped his face. Oh, boy. She...
Hey! I don't want the suitcase! It's got over! It's...
Oh. Hey.
Well, while Eddie is on his way to return Mr. Monahan's stolen Model T... sounds like a police siren, doesn't it?
Pull over to the curb!
I wonder if Eddie is getting into more trouble. I'm sorry we cannot return you to Eddie Bracken. No visitors are allowed in the jail. Somehow or other, Eddie couldn't convince the officer that it was perfectly all right for him to be driving a stolen car. However, Eddie will be out in a few moments. Mr. Monahan has declined to prefer charges. Doesn't sound like Mr. Monahan, does it?
How come you're not preferring charges against him, Mr. Monahan?
Because I prefer you to mind your own business. See, copper? Go get him.
Okay.
That's the stuff, Papa. Speak right up. You're a good customer in this jail.
Well, if you'd have told me the truth last night, I wouldn't be here warming this bench.
But I didn't think you'd believe I was sitting up with a sick friend. It sounded so sort of fishy.
Listen, when you've lived as long as your old man, you know when somebody is slipping you a curve. So don't ever try it.
Papa, I wouldn't ever dream of such a thing. Why, I sat up with my girlfriend until midnight. When I came out, the cop was gone. My house key was in it, so I had to get Eddie to help me.
Gee, Mr. Monahan, thank you very much for getting me out.
It's okay. I finally got the truth out of Connie.
Oh. And she told you I wasn't up on Observation Hill with her when the car was stolen.
Yeah.
But, Eddie...
That she was up there with Jerry Pringle and...
Jerry Pringle?
I have a lot of shop shopping to do. I think I'll just...
Come here. Come here. So you were sitting up with a sick girlfriend, huh?
Daddy, sometimes I could kill you.
Well, gee, Connie, he said you told him the truth. So
are you calling me a liar?
Oh, no.
What's going on here?
Good morning, Sheriff Pringle.
Daddy, are you still here?
No, sir. I'm back again.
Keep your shirt on, Joe. I'll handle it.
I don't want any trouble from you either, Monahan. I've been out all night. I haven't had any sleep. I haven't had any breakfast.
I caught cold.
All on account of Eddie and...
And you'll be flat on your back if your son ever takes my daughter up on Observation Hill again.
Jerry? Who said he did? Who said so?
Eddie said so.
Eddie. Every time I turn around, it's Eddie. What can I do with him?
May I make a suggestion?
Get out of here. All of you, get out. Who's telling who to get out? This is a public jail, see? I can stay for as long as I like.
You will, too, if you don't shut up, Papa. Oh, Eddie, help me get him out of here.
Maybe we ought to go, Mr. Monahan.
What this town needs is a sheriff who can catch something besides a cold. Somebody stole my watch last week, see? But,
get out of here!
But do you get it back? No!
Eddie, help me push him. That's it.
Get out!
Just wait till the next election. I got influence. I'll get my large brothers to vote for a one-eyed Missouri mule before they vote for you.
Get out!
That's telling them.
Yes, there's nothing like buttering up the right people.
Here's your car, Mr. Monahan. Would you like me to drive?
No, I wouldn't like you to drive. Hey, whose suitcase is this in the back seat?
The suitcase? Oh, gosh. I meant to give it to Sheriff Pringle.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know all those holdups and burglaries around town? Well, that's all the stuff that was stolen.
And in my car?
Eddie, how did you get it?
Well, I was just walking down the street and...
With you, that explains everything.
Not with me, it doesn't. How do you open this thing? Oh, brother. Look at all that hot stuff.
Oh, well, don't worry, Mr. Monahan. I'll get it out of your car.
Take your hands off. I want to look for my watch. I know that Joe Pringle in his red tape. If he ever got his hooks on it, I'd never see it again.
Louie asked me to return the stuff for him, but I don't know who it belongs to.
Yeah, well, I know who this locket with the sparklers in it belongs to.
Oh, you do?
Sure, it belongs to Joe's wife.
Oh.
I was in the jewelry store when he bought it. He said it was a Christmas present for her.
The sweetest little woman in the world.
The hatchet-faced old battle-axe.
Oh, yes, there's the inscription. All my love, Joe.
Oh. Well, I'll take it right over to her. Maybe that'll fix things up between me and the sheriff. I'll be back just as soon as I take this locket to Mrs. Pringle.
Pringle? Why is he taking it to Mrs. Pringle?
You just said you saw Joe buy it for his wife.
Well, is Joe Pringle the only Joe in town? I was talking about Joe Robertson.
But, Papa, maybe Mrs. Pringle will think her husband bought it for some other woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that?
Come in, Eddie. Come in.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Pringle. Boy, are you going to get excited when you find out what I have?
Really? What?
Well, you remember what Sheriff Pringle gave you for Christmas?
Yes, a cookbook. And I've been cooking for 20 years.
I mean the present that was stolen.
Stolen?
I'm talking about this diamond locket, Mrs. Pringle. I wouldn't have known it was yours. Only Mr. Monahan said he saw your husband buy it.
Is that so?
He heard your husband say it was... for the sweetest little woman in the whole world.
Is that so?
Uh-huh.
Let me see that locket, Eddie.
Oh, I should have known it was yours by the inscription on it. See, it says, All My Love, Joe. Gee, I never suspected he was so romantic.
I did. But I never had the proof before.
Well, you certainly have the proof now.
Yes, thanks to you, Eddie.
That's all right, Mrs. Pringle. You know, your husband is... kind of mad at me, but I'm sure this will fix things up.
Oh, here he is now.
Hello, dear. I'm home.
Hello, Sheriff Pringle.
Martha, is Eddie really standing there, or have I cracked up?
Well, who is she?
Who?
Who is she?
Who's who? Martha, I tell you, I'm tired. You don't know where I've been all night. I've been chasing all over town.
Oh. And he sent it to my face. Look at this locket. Look at it.
Well, what about it?
What about it? I know you gave it to some woman. Who is she? Eddie saw you buy it. He heard you say it was for the sweetest little woman in the world.
He what? Oh, Mrs. Pringle.
He heard you with his own eyes. He saw you with his own ears.
But, Mrs. Pringle, I said...
I tell you I don't know anything about it, and Eddie's a barefaced liar.
Oh, no, Sheriff Pringle. I wasn't lying.
I Mr. said Mar- you're a liar. Martha, I'll kill him, so help me, I'll kill him.
Don't you dare touch Eddie. Here, take your locket.
But, Martha...
Don't you Martha me. I'm taking the children and going home to Mother.
Martha...
Goodbye, Sheriff Pringle. I think I'd better go now. I told Connie and Mr. Monahan I'd be right back and oh no, Sheriff Pringle. No, please don't, Sheriff Pringle, please don't.
Oh! Now you try to break up my home. Start talking.
Where
did you get that locket?
I'm out of the suitcase.
What suitcase?
You are strangling me.
What suitcase?
The suitcase with all the things that was stolen.
Oh. You had the stolen goods. That's why you didn't identify Louis last night. You couldn't.
No, sir.
Because you're the one who's guilty. You deny it?
I can't.
You can't deny it?
I can't. Get my breath.
Martha, come back. I squeezed the confession out of Eddie Bracken.
Huh?
Hey, Eddie, is that you in the next cage? It's me, Louis DeLouse.
Well, they caught you again? Oh, gee, now maybe they'll let me go.
Am I burned up? All my life I've been a social problem. Taking things where I find them, and I never get caught. Then I meet you. I see the light. I reform. I give back everything I had. And what happens? I get picked up as a vagrant. I was a joke.
Oh, no, Louie. You did the right thing.
I'm going back to being a social problem. But this time it'll be big time. Thanks, stick-ups and safe-cracking. My faith in human nature is utterly immoralized.
Well, you shouldn't talk that way, Louie. If you have faith in people, people will have faith in you. People are good and honest and...
Yeah? Nuts. When I get out of here, I'm going to stick up every bank I see.
But, Louis, you shouldn't say that.
Now on, banks is my specialty.
Oh, but...
Eddie Bracken?
Huh?
They got company.
Oh, Eddie. What have they done to you?
Oh, I'm all right, Barbara.
I'd have been here sooner, but I stopped to bake you this cake.
Oh, gee. Thank you very much, Barbara. See what I mean, Louie? People are good and honest.
And be careful when you bite into it. There's a saw in it.
A saw?
And I have a car waiting outside at midnight with the motor running for our getaway. We'll go somewhere and start a new life together.
But Barbara.
I'll stick by you, Eddie.
But Barbara, I'm innocent. It's all a mistake.
Oh, it is? Are you sure?
Listen, Tootsie, if he don't want that saw, I'll take it.
Barbara, this is Louis DeLouse.
Oh. How do you do, Mr. Louse?
Louis was arrested as a vagrant.
I was never so humiliated.
Louis, what you should do is face the music. You prove that you're a good man. The judge will take all that into consideration. And when you get out, I'll vouch for you. I'll help you get a job here in town.
Eddie Bracken?
Huh?
I got some news for you. You're being released.
Oh. Isn't Sheriff Pringle mad at me anymore?
I don't know. Connie Monahan brought the order. She's waiting for you.
Connie? For me?
Yep.
Oh, gee.
Oh, Eddie, I wanted to be the one who helped you get off.
Hey, how about leaving that cake with me, huh?
Hey, that's a mighty nice looking cake. Can I have a piece?
Oh, no. I haven't time to cut it. I mean, it isn't mine. I mean, I'll have to take it home.
Eddie, wait! Eddie!
I can't stop now, Barbara. I'm on my way...
You know that man in the next cell?
Huh?
The one you said was a good man, and you'd help him find a job when he got out?
Well... I don't think he'll be out for quite a while.
He's out now. I got him out for you.
Well, that's very nice of you. Out? For me?
After all, he was only a vagrant, and all you have to do to get a vagrant out is to give him a job. So I told my Uncle Willie, you said he was a good man, and you'd vouch for him. And so my Uncle Willie bailed him out and gave him a job as watchman. In the bank.
The bank, that's where I'm going. I have to pull some money out of my...
The bank!
The Eddie Bracken Show, from February 11th, 1945, on NBC. You're listening to The Door to Suspense Hour, on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. Throughout the 1940s on radio, Bracken was heard in a variety of shows, contributing to the war effort on Armed Forces Service programs like the GI Journal and Request Performance, and later in the decade was a regular panelist on the Let's Talk Hollywood show, as well as a regular on Dorothy L'Amour's comedy program, the Seal Test Variety Theater.
I'm not very good impersonating people, but I do a pretty good job of impersonating Dennis Day impersonating people.
You think it'll work? Can you do anybody that has a little romance, like Charles Boyer?
I'll try.
Go ahead over to L'Amour, and you better be good. See if you can make a laugh first. Be a comedian like Groucho Marx.
Groucho, yes, sir. L'Amour. Toujours L'Amour. I'll go a little further. Threejours L'Amour. Did I ever tell you how beautiful you were? Well, I could make love to the cows come home. As a matter of fact, I can make love to the cows till you come home.
So it was a very much out-of-character moment in his career when, at the height of his comedic fame, he was invited to star on radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense, in 1944, in a play about a young man struggling with a person thought dead and blame placed on him who returned to town. It was a great mystery story that put Bracken's youthful characterizations at center stage, and in 1948 he made his third appearance on the series in the play Nightmare, one of several hour-long presentations of Suspense from that year. But it was his second showing on the program that really seemed to bring out his capabilities of playing someone young with the sophistication of a longtime actor, and a part that was written for another child star who had made it into adult Hollywood, and that was Mickey Rooney, who canceled his appearance on Suspense for the broadcast of March 6, 1947. Now, the technically unplanned Eddie Bracken performance on Suspense in the story Elwood from CBS Radio.
Roma Wines bring you Eddie Bracken in a remarkable tale of... Suspense!
Mr. Obermeyer wasn't around, so I closed the gas station early that day and started home. I wasn't feeling very well. I walked along, thinking of different things, past the high school where I'd gone last year and where Miss Wilson was still teaching. Past the movie theaters where they were still showing the Humphrey Bogart picture I'd seen last night. I thought maybe I'd go again tonight. And then I cut through the alley to the rickety old frame building where we lived on the second floor over the store. I hated that place. Every time I got near it, I hated it worse. It was no kind of a place for us to be living. I went up the back stairs. I could hear Mom and Sis in the kitchen. So I went straight to my own room and locked the door. I pulled up the old floorboard and got out my things and spread them on the bed. I pinned on the flyer's watch, that is his wings, and strapped on the chronograph-type watch. It said to Jimmy from Jane on it. I looked at myself in the mirror. I could have been a famous flyer. I took off the watch and wings and looked over the other things. There was the gold fountain pen that I had only a week. It said L.I.B. on it. It was the kind that big executive used to sign important papers. I tried it out a few times in front of a mirror.
Elwood?
Yes?
Elwood!
All right, Mother. All right.
Fired?
No, I just closed up a little early.
Well, you will get fired. Mr. Obermeyer catches you closing up early.
Oh, no, I won't.
And don't think you're going to lie around this house when you do. Your sister and I have a hard enough time as it is without having you on our necks.
Well, I don't feel very well today, Mom.
Don't feel very well.
Is supper ready?
No. Is that all you can think about when you come home? Food?
There isn't much else, is there?
Is that so? Well, any time you get tired of using this place as a boarding house...
Forget it, Mom. What's this?
Leave it alone. Do you have to look at everything?
Well, what is it?
An old album of snapshots I found in the trunk today. Didn't know I still had it.
Gee, is this me?
Let me see. Mm-hmm, that's you.
How old was I then?
Oh, let me see, about 6. You were real cute then.
Are there any pictures of Dad?
No.
Say, I remember this place. This is where we lived just before we came to Fairfield, wasn't it?
Quite a while before. You were about 8 then.
Who's this? Who's this man?
You ought to remember him. You were almost 9 when he went away.
I don't. Who was he?
He was your stepfather. What's the idea of tearing that up?
Unless I want to.
Cut it out. You got no right to tear up that picture. The Lord knows I got no use for that man, but you got no right to tear it up.
Oh, you had no right to marry him.
Shut up! Get out of here before I hit you again. Get out of here! Get out!
I went back to my room. I got my things out from under the floorboard again, but somehow they didn't make me feel very good the way they usually did. I had an awful headache. Pretty soon I put on my hat and went out. Miss Wilson?
I think it is, Elwood, yes.
Well, that'll be $1.80 then.
All right. Here.
Thanks. How's the new term going, Miss Wilson?
Oh, fine so far. I am sorry you're not with us, though, Elwood. I was so looking forward to having you in my class
this year.
Well,
some things just can't be helped this year, I guess. Do the students like your course, Miss Wilson?
They seem to like it fine.
I wish I could be there. Is there anything about abnormal psychology, Miss Wilson?
We touch on it towards the end of the course.
Oh, I read something about it. I read some of the Freud and Adler stuff, too.
Have you, Elwood? Uh-huh. You know, sometimes I think you get more real education staying out of school than the rest of them do staying in.
Well, I try to keep up with what's going on in the world.
You're way ahead of most people, Elwood. I hope someday you can get away from this town, someplace where you can really use your ability. You can go a long way, Elwood.
Oh, I'm going to. I'm going to do something about it someday, all right.
I know you are. Maybe between us we can figure out something. Huh?
Maybe we can. Can I come over and listen to your records again sometime, Miss Wilson?
Of course you can, Elwood. Anytime Elwood. You feel...
Oh, hey, Elwood.
What's
Elwood.
The matter?
Elwood, we got a phone for Dr. Parker and the police.
What's up? Why?
Well, it's Mr. Granby. They just found him over there in the lot.
Henry Granby?
Yes. Our phone. You go on over, Elwood. Maybe you can do something.
All right. You want to come, Miss Wilson?
Yes, I will. I guess it must be over there on the corner where the people are.
Yeah, people crowd around awful quick at something like this, don't they?
Oh, they certainly do.
Maybe you don't want to look.
Well, I... No.
Oh, that's Mr. Granby, all right.
Elwood, what happened to him?
There's not much use in calling a doctor.
Oh, dear, is he?
Well, you can see. He's been strangled, Miss Wilson. He's dead. Finding Mr. Granby murdered created a terrific commotion. At first, they thought some tramp did it, but they couldn't find anything missing except a Phi Beta Kappa key. So they figured someone in town must have done it, because there were quite a lot of people who didn't like Mr. Granby at all. You can imagine how that made them feel, a little town like ours where everybody knew everybody else, and someone you might say hello to a dozen times a day, was a murderer. Friday was my afternoon off, and I was walking around town, and I ran into Miss Wilson and Winnie Hawks.
Why, hello, Elwood.
Oh, hello, Miss Wilson. Hi, Winnie.
Elwood Parsons, I do wish you'd stop calling me Winnie. My name is Winifred. In fact, it's Miss Hawks to mere acquaintances.
I always used to call you Winnie.
That was years ago when I was just a child.
Winifred's 17 now, Elwood. She's a young lady.
Well, at least I'm old enough to be addressed by my right name.
Okay, Winnie.
All right, then, Ellie.
Say, Winnie, what's that?
What?
That hanging on your bracelet.
Oh, that. That's just a little gold football. Andy Sawyer gave it to me.
Gee, that's nice.
Oh, it's all right. The whole varsity got them. Anybody might have one.
Anybody?
Yes, even you, if you'd ever taken the trouble to go out for the team.
The football equipment cost too much. Say, hear anything new about the murder?
New? My father says that if the police can't do anything, it's high time the citizens took things into their own hands. He's forming a vigilante committee.
Oh, Winifred.
Well, we have to do something, don't we? After all, there's a murderer running around loose. How do we know it might be anybody?
Sure, it might be anybody.
Well, of course, I suppose it might,
listen,
but...
Listen, will both of you swear not to tell this to a living soul?
What, Winifred?
My father thinks he knows who did it. The murder.
Does he?
He thinks it's old man Krantz. In the first place, there's something wrong with him living up there in that old shack all alone. And in the second place, he's a foreigner.
Oh, Winifred, what's that got to do with it?
Well, he could have done it. My father thinks he's somebody who's crazy. A fiend.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Old man Krantz, a fiend.
Well, just because you're such bosom pals.
Tell your
with
father
him.
To guess again, Winnie. Old man Krantz wouldn't hurt anybody.
How do you know?
Old man Krantz? He wouldn't hurt a fly. He wouldn't dare. Old man Krantz was a little funny, all right. But it was funnier still, him thinking that he'd done it. That gave me the idea to go up and see him. His big dog Bismarck started making an awful fuss the way he always did, but I just banged on the door anyway.
Who is it?
It's me, Mr. Krantz. Elwood.
Why didn't you say so? Quiet, Bismarck. Wait a minute. I'll unbar the door.
Hello, Bismarck, old fella.
So, you finally come up to see old man Krantz again, huh?
Yeah, and I brought you some old horseshoes. I'll just put them down here. Say, I thought I ought to tell you. I heard the screwiest thing in town today.
So? What was that?
You know about the murder?
Yes, I know.
Somebody said you did it.
Oh, they did, huh?
Uh-huh. They're getting up a vigilante committee.
Well, let them come with their vigilante committee. I got my shotgun. I take care of myself.
Oh,
right.
They won't bother you, Mr. Krantz. I told them they were crazy.
They better not bother me.
As far as that goes, I don't think they'll ever find out who did it.
No?
I don't think so. Do you?
Well, somebody did do it.
Oh, sure. Somebody did.
He was strangled, I hear.
He was. I saw him.
Take a strong pair of hands to do that.
Yeah, I guess it would. Well, what have you been doing lately, Mr. Krantz?
Oh, nothing. Reading a little philosophy this last few days.
No more psychology?
Oh, sure, but now I read a little philosophy just for a change. Been reading Schopenhauer. You know how he says it's the only way to escape the world? Suicide.
Suicide? Yeah.
But he's crazy. My way of living is better than his way of dying.
Well, why do you want to escape from the world, Mr. Krantz?
Why? Look at it. Just look at it and tell me why I shouldn't want to escape from it.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Krantz. There are a lot of things wrong with the world.
Wrong?
But
you just show me one thing that's right. Just one thing, and I'll go back. That's right. I'll go back. But in the meantime, while you got nothing else to do, we play a game of horseshoes, huh?
Ah.
Come on. I got the stakes all laid out.
Okay.
What kind of horseshoes are these? They're all bent.
Well, I didn't want to ask Charlie Vander for new ones. They're old ones that he takes off the horses. They just have to be straightened out a little.
Yeah, that's right.
You got a hammer or an axe
hammer
somewhere?
You think I'm an old man and I'm weak, huh? You don't know how much strength I got. There, look. I straightened it with my bare hands.
Shucks, I bet I can do it.
Go ahead, try.
All right. There. See?
Yes.
It's just as straight as yours.
Yes, Elwood. It takes a strong pair of hands to do that.
I didn't feel very well that night. I tried on my Phi Beta Kappa key that I had in front of a mirror, and then I put it back in the place under the floor and then I put on my hat and went out. You know what? The next day they found Winnie Hawks. She was dead. Somebody had strangled her.
Why, hello, Elwood. Come in.
I haven't seen you for quite a while,
I
and
know.
I thought...
Everyone's been so upset. It was such an awful thing.
What?
About Winifred.
Oh, yes. It's strange what fate does.
Oh, it's something a little more horrible than fate, I'm afraid.
I thought maybe you wouldn't want to go out. I thought maybe you might like to listen to some music tonight, Miss Wilson.
Why, yes, I'd love to. As a matter of fact, I've just got a new album of Stravinsky. They say it's very good.
Oh, Stravinsky's wonderful. I think it's terribly exciting and emotional, don't you?
Well, yes, and so imaginative. I'll get out the records if you will start... What's that you've got there, Elwood?
What?
That thing you're tossing up and down your hand.
Oh, that's just a little watch charm I found. I carry it in my pocket, sort of for luck.
It was a gold football, wasn't it?
Yeah, I found it. I guess some fella lost it.
Oh.
Okay, sis, I'm leaving.
Oh, hello, Dick.
Oh, hi, Elwood.
All right, Dick.
Dad's here, so don't worry.
No, I...
Going hunting?
The rifle. Hunting. You bet I am. Half the town is tonight.
Didn't you know, Elwood? The committee's patrolling the streets because of the murderer.
Oh, yes. I heard something about it.
You ought to join up. It's every man's duty with a fiend like that on the loose.
Well, maybe I will.
Well, so long. Good night.
Good night, Dick. Shall I put on the first record, Miss Wilson?
Yes, all right. Elwood.
Yes?
Where did you find that gold football?
Down by the railroad tracks. I guess some fella lost it who was passing through. I sort of collect things like that, you know.
Oh.
Oh, that music is wonderful. It makes me want to do things, big things. You've been a wonderful help to me, Miss Wilson.
I like to help people that I think will benefit by it. So perhaps someday they can accomplish something.
I'm going to accomplish something someday, Miss Wilson. In a way, I already have. Sometimes I thought, if I were only a little bit older, or you were a little younger,
well, That's one thing we know we can't accomplish, isn't it? We can't change our ages.
No, we can't accomplish that. That's a lovely watch you have on, Miss Wilson.
Oh, this.
I've never seen you wear that one before.
A friend of mine brought it back from Europe.
May I see it?
Of course.
It's kind of complicated, isn't it?
Yes, it's one of those Swiss ones. It tells the day of the month, too.
Oh, it's really lovely.
I'm glad you like it.
I'd like to have a watch like that.
Elwood, I can't listen anymore. I hope you'll excuse me.
What's the matter, Miss Wilson?
I'm very sorry, but... Suddenly, I have a very bad headache.
Oh, of course. I understand, Miss Wilson.
Thank you, Elwood.
Well, you have nothing to thank me for, Miss Wilson. I'll go now.
All right. Good night, Elwood.
Good night, Miss Wilson. I went home and put the gold football in the place under the floor. I thought I'd go to sleep, but I felt worse that night than I ever had. So after a while, I put on my hat and went out. I walked around for quite a while. Once I saw some of the fellows driving around in a hopped-up Ford, all with rifles and shotguns.
Are things at the station, Elwood?
I just waved to them and kept on walking. I was down around the station just as the 1140 was pulling out. A man had gotten off and was crossing the tracks to take the shortcut. It was dark. I couldn't see who he was. But he had a brand new briefcase, a lovely one, the kind they call a dispatch case. I followed him. The shortcut is a path up over the ridge below Mr. Krantz's shack. It whines quite a lot, so at first he didn't notice I was following him. I got pretty close before he did, and he turned his head. He began walking faster, and so did I. In a minute, he looked back again, and it must have come to him who I was because he started to run. Then I ran, too. When he saw he couldn't get away, all at once he made a quick turn up the hill towards the lights in old man Krantz's shack. He didn't yell or anything, but he dropped his briefcase now and he was running as hot as he could. So was I, and I didn't stop. For a second, I was afraid he might wake up old man Krantz's dog before I caught up with him. He tripped over something and fell, and I was there before he could get up. He turned his face. Then suddenly it happened again. The same thing that happened with Winnie Hawks and Mr. Granby. It wasn't his face that I saw. It was the face in that picture. The face of my stepfather. My hands were closing around his throat.
Ah!
The next day, the sun was shining, and I was pleased because it was my day off again. I'd slept late, but when I started over into town, I saw a lot of kids running up towards the ridge, so I guess they'd found him. I followed along, but when I got there, I saw they were going up further, to old man Krantz's shack. There was a big crowd there, and the sheriff and three or four cops, they didn't seem to be doing much. It was some other men, like Mr. Wilson's brother, that seemed to be in charge. One of them had a rope, and he was slinging it over a tree. And then I saw the dog. Somebody had shot Bismarck, and he was lying there in the grass, all covered with blood. And then they were dragging old man Krantz out of his shack.
I'm an old man, boys. I don't do it. What would an old man like me want to do a thing like that?
Shut up now! Quiet! Listen here, men. Quiet! I gotta warn you. What you're doing is illegal and contrary to the law.
We're in charge now, Sheriff. And let me warn you. Don't try to interfere.
Oh, Bismarck, old Bismarck, what have you done that for? To a poor dumb animal. He didn't do nothing.
Come on, get the rope. No.
Wait, he didn't do it.
How do you know?
Well, he couldn't have...
There's the one who did it. Right there.
I was down the hill before they even had time to fire a shot. That's all it had taken. Just those few words and they knew. But it was too late now. There was a freight train coming through just as I got to the tracks. I got across ahead of it. That cut them off for a minute and gave me time to think. But I knew I'd never get very far in the open daylight. I saw an oil tank car standing on the siding with the top up. I scrambled up onto it and down the little ladder inside. It was empty. But I was barely inside when they were across the tracks after me. I hardly dared breathe. Standing there in the darkness with the oil on the bottom of the car seeping into my shoes, I almost fainted thinking of what would happen if somebody got the idea of looking into that. Thank God. It was good and dark. About 8 o'clock, I guess, before I dared to climb out. I was still frightened, but I was excited, too. They were looking for me. Everybody. In a couple of days, the whole country would be looking for me. But they wouldn't find me. They'd never find me. For years, they'd wonder how I got away, and then... Then I saw two men walking up the track to the freight agent's office. I was frightened all over again.
Haven't seen any sign of them, have you?
No, I just wish I had. I got old Betsy here all primed.
They were all over, everywhere. But just the same, I had to get to see Miss Wilson. Somehow, I just had to get to see her. I started back over the ridge. I figured that would be the last place they'd be looking. But at every little sound in the brush, I'd go weak all over from fear. I got there, though, through the backyard. And I was just hiding in the bushes alongside the house when I saw her come out the front door with Dick.
I'll walk you down there, sis.
All right.
We're patrolling the streets by the school anyway, so you'll be all right. Keep plenty of lights on, though.
Oh, it's so brutal.
Brutal?
Yes, and you enjoy it, all of you, hunting him down like an animal.
What? Good Lord, sis. He is an animal.
So I was an animal. Well, all right, then I was an animal. But I was a lot smarter animal than any of them. I knew she was going to the school. And I knew how to get into the basement. It was awful easy, really. And I was already inside when I heard her arrive. She had the place blazing with lights, but her room was right next to the basement stairway, and there was a fuse box just at the head of the stairs. It was almost too easy. Of course, I couldn't see her in there when I opened the door.
Who's there?
Miss Wilson? Don't be afraid, Miss Wilson.
Elwood?
I just want to talk to you, Miss Wilson.
Elwood, no.
I just wanted to tell you why I did those things. You're a psychologist. You'll understand.
Please, go away.
It was those things like Elwood. The gold football, like your watch. Do you have your watch with you tonight, Miss Wilson?
Don't.
I know you
me.
Have it.
Don't.
Nobody ever gave me a watch. They wouldn't even if I asked them for it. They'd try to keep it from me. So I'd just have to take it. I'd just take it. They were coming down the hall. The lights were on all of a sudden. There was only one way out.
the window.
I was cut some when I hit the ground, but I was all right. I started to run. And then I saw someone in front of me. He was aiming right at me. I turned and I ran the other way. I fell, but something hit me. I tried to get up. Something hit me again. That's all I can remember. They say I'm what's called a criminal psychopath. They say I took those things because they were symbols of love that I never had. They say I killed those people because they represented my stepfather, and I thought he'd kept me from being loved. They say they don't know whether I should be sent to an asylum or go to a trial. But I don't see why they go to all this trouble, because they say anyway, I'm going to die.
Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, Roma, America's favorite wines.
Suspense from March 6th, 1947 on CBS, closing this Door to Suspense Hour on Tuned to Yesterday featuring Eddie Bracken. Be sure to be with us again as we enjoy more great shows from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.